How are you guys doing today? How's everything?
Doing good, brother. How are you?
Very well, very well. How you been doing, brother Ernie?
Doing good, brother. How about y'all?
Very good, very good. And God bless you, everybody. Thank you for being here. This is Profound Truth. And today we have a special guest. And just for you guys to know, this is our brother Joshua.
Nice to meet you.
Yes, this is our brother Joshua, brother Joshua Johnson. He's a devoted follower of Christ, experienced a transformative encounter with Jesus in 2016 that ignited his passion for serving God. He actively participates in his Texas church, known for his inspiring preaching and teaching, and volunteers for church activities and outreach programs. As a proud husband and father, Joshua embodies Christian values with his family, promoting love, service, and community, and continues to be a beacon of hope, impacting lives through his dedication to the Lord.
Amen.
Welcome, Josh.
That's good. Welcome, brother Joshua. How you been doing?
I'm good, brother. Thank y'all for having me. I'm blessed. Yeah. I look different with no beard, but it's me.
I know. I saw that picture and I said, what a man is. Yeah. Who is this guy here with us? He's the same brother. God bless you. And before we even start, I'm going to ask you, Brother Joshua, to guide this episode, which is episode 105, brother, I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
That's good. Amen.
Amen. And, you know, before we even give it any information, let's put this in God's hands. And Brother Joshua, please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Father God, I come to you. Well, Father God, we come to you humbly and gracefully. And we just extend our hand and our gratitude and our love. And we just want to say thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done in our lives. And thank you for what you continue to do. We could give ourselves credit and pat ourselves on the back, but it would be wrong because everything that we have or went through or transpired in our lives to where we're at now is all because of you. So I just want to extend that gratitude and at all of say thank you for what you did for us, Father God. And I ask that you just... You guide me, Mr. Ernie, and Mr. Ignacio, as we get through this podcast. I ask that you just give us knowledge and wisdom. I ask that you give us peace and joy. You give us the words of what needs to be said and expressed. I ask that you give us the discernment and the knowledge and the wisdom of just using common sense and choosing our words and just making this about you and not us, Father God. We just come here. We just want to say thank you. And we just want to give credit to you for the things that you've done in our lives. So as we get through this podcast, my first podcast with these gentlemen, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity and allowing me to be on episode 105 with Mr. Ernie and Mr. Ignacio. So again, Father God, I just say thank you. We love you. We give you honor, praise, and all the glory.
Amen, brother. Brother Joshua, I'm going to, if it's possible, you know, I think somebody is making noise, right? Around you. If they can at least...
It's my kids and stuff. I'm in my living room.
But that's okay. I mean, that's okay if it's. I know children; they're very active. So, Ernie, what do we have for now?
Today's topic is called Embracing Forgiveness, and we're going to be reading some things and going over the book of Philemon. I think that's how you say it.
Philemon?
Yeah, Philemon.
I think they many people trying to say it different, but that's how they really...
Philemon. Well, out of the book, Embracing Forgiveness today, out of the book of Philemon, which is, if y'all didn't know, it's I think the shortest book in the Bible. But just because it's a short book, there's definitely a lot we can still unpack inside of this book right here.
That's good. That's good. And the first things that I want to talk about is this topic. And I'm going to just briefly guide, if you can give me what is come to your minds when you hear embracing forgiveness from, just by looking this topic. Brother Joshua, what do you understand that?
I'm coming to understand. I sound like I'm echoing a little bit.
I sound
okay?
Yeah,
you sound good.
I've come to the understanding that furthering my knowledge in the Bible and, of course, my walk, I've learned that forgiveness is not just one of the biggest, but probably one of the most biggest things that you'll ever have to do in your Christian walk. I've also learned that without forgiveness, there's no forgiveness. I sleep better at night. My relationship with Christ is a lot better knowing the things I've done in my life to people, towards people, at people, knowing that I've asked for forgiveness. So for me, forgiveness is probably one of the most important steps in your Christian walk, because without forgiveness, I firmly believe you can't have much of a relationship without Christ, because how is Christ supposed to forgive us of our sins and our trespasses and our transgressions if we can't forgive our neighbor? Yeah. We can't forgive our brother. We can't forgive our father, our sister. You know, there's things that we've done to people, or things that's happened to us through life. And some people more often than not tend to hang on to that bitterness and that anger. And I've learned over the years that bitterness and that anger, it just gets worse, and it eats at you. So over the years, God has shown me that in order for me to further my relationship with Him spiritually, I have to learn to forgive. So for me, forgiveness is giving it all, and just saying, "Hey, man, I'm sorry." You know. So to me, again, I think forgiveness is one of the most biggest things you have to do in your Christian walk. And it's tough. It ain't easy, because there's some people that every day they go to sleep and they wake up in the repetitive same old cycle of anger, bitterness, and just mucky, and just don't care to be in society. So again, forgiveness is probably, in my opinion, one of the most biggest things we have to do in our Christian walk.
Man, brother,
I have to agree. It is hard. What about you, Ernie?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Joshua, that was good. That was a great way to put it. Forgiveness definitely is one of the hardest things, and I really like what you said. Like, it's crazy what you said about, you know, how can we, when we don't forgive others, we have to remember that, like, Christ forgave us. And I was literally just talking to somebody about that today at work. Like, it is hard, but it's like exactly like that. Like, how can you not forgive somebody when you remember how Christ forgave you, or when you think about things you did and God still forgave you, and Jesus calls us to, you know, do exactly like what you said, to forgive others just as He forgave us. And so it's definitely not an easy thing to forgive and to embrace that forgiveness, to really, like, because a lot of times we can forgive, and then the next thing, though, is it's hard to really forget it. And we may not be able to forget everything, but to forgive that person or whoever it is and be able to move on and can to even, you know, over time develop maybe a relationship back with that person, whatever type of relationship it may be. And like you said, though, it's important, like, to have it's a big part of having a relationship with Christ is forgiving others, because if you're walking around with that bitterness and that feeling, it's kind of like takes you back to what about when God forgave you all those times. So you got to be able to forgive others as well. And it's definitely, it's not an easy thing to do.
That is true, brother. And, you know, I think people think when you ask for forgiveness, that you're asking only to forgive that person that you did something or that that person did something to you. But the reality of forgiveness is for you, also for yourself healing, for yourself recovery, for yourself well-being. You know, it's not about the other person that did or didn't do something, but it's definitely for you. Because once you forgive, you release all that junk of angers or bitterness, you know, and you're free internally, you know, emotionally. And really, forgiveness is something that help everybody, but especially that person that forgive, you know, directly. And it's actually, we're going to be reading this letter, you know. And Philemon is a letter, a personal letter that Paul wrote. And, you know, I just want to share some information about that. And if you guys also have some information, it's good. According with the history, right, of Christian history, this letter was written by Paul while he was in prison in Rome. And Philemon's letter was written between 61st AD. So this letter is kind of like on the same time of Colossians, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that in my notes on my Bible at home. So this was in around the time of Colossians. Like a lot of the same people, if you go to Colossians, it has some of these same people that are named in this letter also.
Yeah,
in the
last chapter even. Yeah. You will hear the name of Philemon. And Colossians was a church. Philemon was a person. So you see, it's think that he used to be in that particular church. You know, that's why in the letter of Philemon, we can see, of Colossians, we can hear the name of Philemon. And, you know, also, this is the shorter letter or episode.
Epistle,
yeah, from Paul. You know, this is interesting because out of 13 letters that he has, nine letters of those 13, he addressed directly as a apostle, you know. Like, I have some authority. But in this particular letter, he just addressed himself as a fellow prisoner, friend of God. That is interesting, brother.
Yeah.
And this letter really have some concerns about Onesimus, a runaway slave of Philemon, who apparently also stole some money from Philemon, you know. So this is information interesting. You know, it is important that we, before diving into this, that we explain a little bit of the background of slavery during that time.
Yeah.
Because this is not the slavery that we know on the 19th century or the modern slavery, yeah, which is based on race. This particular, I mean, any slavery is bad, right?
Yeah.
Let it put it that way.
Yeah.
But in this particular situation, the Romans used to have approximately 16 million slaves in their entire empire, meaning that 25% of the
population.
The population was slave, and they really counted with this labor force, you know, because slave usually are the ones who work in the labor force. However, we also can find that slave also have some different profession, you know, like for instance, they used to be manager, architect, doctor. And we know a very famous doctor from the Bible, which wrote the two books.
Yeah.
The book of Luke.
Acts,
which is Luke, right? Yeah. So we can see, and slavery usually is because Roman Empire conquered that country, and the remaining people, they taken, you know, as a slavery. Sometimes a father has a debt that he couldn't pay, yeah. and then he just sold one of the child, you know. Yeah. And sometimes you have a debt on your own, and since you cannot pay, you just say, okay, I'm going to be your slave until I pay my debt.
Yeah.
So it could be for many reasons, right?
Yeah.
However, I love the fact that the Lord really, really want to address this, because that was a letter, a personal letter that Paul sent it, but God want to change that, and that's what we're going to navigate. And let's read the scripture. So what do you think, Guy, about this slavery situation that was going on while I'm preparing the scripture for you to read it? Joshua, what do you understand about this situation?
First of all, I don't know how to say his name.
Onesimus.
Onesimus, okay, yeah. Okay. So basically the E is silent, Onesimus. Okay.
Yeah.
Basically what I gathered is Onesimus, the runaway slave.
Yeah.
Is exactly what he was. He was a runaway slave that later on. So basically what I gather about it is he was the slave of
runaway
slave.
He apparently is the history might think that he ran away with some money. Yeah. But then he went to Roma, right? But then over there, he met Paul. We don't know. The Bible doesn't explain how he met Paul.
But basically, he gets converted and accepts Christ.
Yeah.
Paul,
yes, sir.
Paul converts him. So now he becomes, you know, he's a part of the family. He's part of the body of Christ. And so now he's a brother in Christ. So in this letter, Paul's trying to get him to not only forgive him, but not just accept him back as a slave, but to now look at him in a different light, to look at him as a brother and not just a slave. And that's why this letter is written, because, again, we're talking about forgiveness, but it's also, you know, forgiving each other, and especially, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we're all in the body, and we want to forgive each other instead of being divided over things. And you know, we'll read it in a minute, but Paul goes so far out to not just forgive him. Paul's, like, pleading with him, like, I'll even cover his debt, like, just, you know, accept, you know, forgive him and let him come back in to your house, but not, don't just accept him back as a slave. Now look at him as this is your brother in Christ as well.
And you know, it is really good. And if you can start reading that right there, the scripture, we can...
You want me to read it?
Yes, please.
Starting at the top. So in Philemon, starting at the top. So Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Acupus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I'd rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains.
I love that.
Who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me.
Wow. So let's stop right there. Now, this is interesting letter that I love, you know. And I see in this particular letter two main things, you know, two main themes that we can definitely highlight, you know. First, the equality, right? Mm-hmm. Like in Christian, there is no such of you have a better opportunity than me or you are better than me. Throughout the history, I can see that Christian trying to dismantle this situation with the slavery, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Because if you see this particular letter, it's right not only to reconcile with him, but also to take him back as what?
As a brother.
As a brother. And, you know, Paul couldn't come here and say, you know what? I am an apostle with authority that can really tell you to take this person, to forgive this person, because as a brother and sister, you are not allowed to have a slave, you know. However, he preferred to do it in the love because, and this is giving some good key points to us, how we can really put ourselves, and this is a question that I'm going to ask, how we can put ourselves in Onesimus, but also in Philemon's situation. I'm going to ask Joshua.
Yes, sir.
If you can, how do you can really put yourself in one of those situations? Because sometimes we are the person that has been treated bad, right? Like somebody did something wrong. But sometimes we are the person who does something wrong. You know, how we can definitely put ourselves, see ourselves in both Onesimus and Philemon.
See, my opinion, to see ourselves in Philemon and
Onesimus.
Onesimus.
Yeah.
I can't get that name.
I know.
Yeah, I had to listen to the little audio on the Bible on my phone before we did this so I can hear how the name
I've been studying up on this since yesterday, man.
Don't worry.
But it's all good.
In my opinion, it's one of the most important things for both perspectives is accountability.
Yeah. So
we have to hold ourselves accountable because it's so easy to say that Ignacio or Ernie or Josh, it's so easy for us to say we were done wrong and hold that against somebody, that bitterness and that anger. That's where that forgiveness comes in. So first of all, I think accountability is a big one. Secondly, we have to look at it from a like-minded perspective. We have to look at it from basically like a softened heart perspective. So not only is it accountability, but we also have to watch how we treat others, because the way we treat others is the way they're going to treat us. We ask, or so many times we demand respect, but yet we don't want to give it. The Bible talks about we have to love our neighbors as our brother. We have to love our enemies as we love ourselves. We're supposed to love like Jesus, and we tend to forget about that.
Wow.
And when we forget about that, we not only do we forget about that, but we forget about that accountability. We forget that we're supposed to die daily. We forget that when we forget to die daily and we get into our flesh, there goes that big A word again, that big accountability. We don't want to hold ourselves accountable. We want to say, look here, God, today is not the day. I don't want to pray today. I don't need your word today. And we get away from it. And then on the other hand, we say, if we would have just held ourselves accountable, if we would have just took that 30 seconds when we woke up in the morning to say a prayer, we'd have took that 10, 15 minutes to read scripture today, could our day been better? Could we encounter something differently? Could we have treated someone differently? Could we have helped somebody today? So with me, from both perspectives, man, it's accountability and it's also just seeing it from a different perspective. So for me, for both of those things, if you hold yourself accountable and you look at it from a different perspective, and we look at it like Jesus, eventually we'll see where that forgiveness comes into play and we'll be able to forgive so that we can be forgiven, yeah. If it makes any sense.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, and kind of while you were talking about that, I was like, when you're talking about how Jesus wants to, you know, love our neighbor as ourselves. Yeah. So another thing, sir, I kind of think about is, I remember Jesus said something. So, you know, based on this, we're looking at, he ran away because he stole something. But I remember Jesus, and I don't know, one of the gospels says that if someone was to steal your jacket, you know, go in and give them, I forget how he says it, your shirt, basically. Like, if they stole one thing, you know, don't make a big deal about it. Matter of fact, go ahead and give them this. So it's like what you're saying, the accountability about it. Like, yeah, he might have wronged them, but it's at the same time, he's supposed to forgive them, and at the same time remembering what Jesus says, you know, because this is obviously after Jesus already ascended into heaven, remembering the words of Jesus, and he says that someone stole, you know, or even if someone wrongs you, you're to turn the other cheek. So instead of being so caught up on what he stole, you know, I think Paul's writing this, you know, in a way to remind him that, you know, because he says a lot of times about, you know, grace, the grace, you got to think about the grace of God. So he's reminding him, and like Nasio said, he's not addressing him as he's above him as an apostle. He's saying that he's right there with him as a brother in Christ. I think it's a he's trying to bring them back to remember that we're supposed to show that grace and that forgiveness. And though he wronged them and he was a slave, but now he's asking them to receive him back, but not just as a slave, but as your brother in Christ, and to forgive him, and that not to worry about what he did, and to show grace and look past that. And so I think that's another part that I kind of was thinking about here as you were speaking about it.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, this is interesting for me because we all, in somehow, we run away from the Lord. In somehow, we all did something wrong, you know. And definitely, we need, you know, to look for that forgiveness from the Lord and understand that no matter how difficult we might run away from the Lord, we have to come back and reconcile. You know, because I love the beautiful picture of this situation that happened, you know, because it's not just a highlight for slavery, but it's also a highlight from our behavior. You know, sometimes we might run away from our friends, from the Lord, and we think that, oh, if I went away, far away from this situation, you know, I'm going to be safe from that, from, you know, somehow to say, like, I'm safe because I don't have to confront that situation. But the reality is that we have to confront that situation in a way to, we have to, whatever we did, we had to go back and fix it, you know. Just by running away, that doesn't going to solve the problem, you know. And as a man of God, we all have to change that part, because it's easier to run away from the situation, you know, and not have any confrontation. No, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to talk to that. But if you see, Paul couldn't say, you know what, because you accept Jesus now, you don't have to deal with this, the fact that you disappoint you boss, you know, you disappointing the person that owned you. You were stolen, you did something, but that was just the past. That's it. No. He helped him to embrace the process of reconcile, you know, because by telling him, you have to go back. I mean, he sent the letter.
Yeah.
He really helped him saying, you know what? I want you to do something for me. I heard that you has a great heart, great love for the believer. You know, wow, that even helped Paul to understand. I heard that you are doing everything good for the grave. But guess what? I'm sending to you a brother that I want you to continue doing the same that I'm hearing about,
yeah.
that love him, that respect him. Who is that brother? Onesimus. What? Because the love right there changed when it's come personal to you, you know.
Yeah.
I can ask you, Brother Joshua, Brother Ernie, or even myself, to forgive somebody. But then when it's become personal, then things change. What do you think, Brother Joshua? When it's come personal, it's changed, right?
I do. I agree with that. When it becomes personal, it does change because you get a different mindset, right?
Yeah.
So when you're a young Christian, you're hungry. You got this fire in your soul, in your gut. For Jesus, you're on fire, man. You want to do outreaches. You want to preach to the homeless. You want to pass out Christian starter kits. You assume every homeless person is homeless. You just want to help.
Yeah, that is true.
But the perspective changes when you get caught up of the things that aren't of God. Your fire, it dwindles down. Your passion for Christ, it slowly starts to deteriorate. It slowly starts to go away, and you slowly get away from that, and you slowly find yourself getting back into the world. So when you get that perspective, it does cause you to change. And it's not just a spiritual, it's a physical, it's a mental, and man, it can cause you to really, outside the spiritual realm, in the mental and the physical realm, it could really cause you to shut down and just bring all that depression and that anxiety and that worrying that we're not supposed to. So when you get that perspective, things really do change, and it's not always for the good. So I would say we have, as Christians, we have to be careful what we take in, and not only what we take in, because what we take in, it comes out from the tip of our tongue. So we have to watch out what we take in as well as what we spew out.
That's true.
Yeah.
What do you say, Ernie?
Yeah, I think kind of back to what you're saying, I still like, when it's something personal or somebody's wronged you, like, kind of like Josh said, you get saved and you got this love for everybody, but then there might be that one person, like you're going to church or you're meeting people and you're being like that, but then there's that one person that wronged you, and then you kind of remember, like, maybe you get that conviction one day and the Holy Spirit tells you, well, yeah, you got to forgive that person. And you're like, nah, and you're kind of reluctant and you don't really want to forgive that person, but it's like, nah, you got it, that you have to, that's part of it. But it's like, you've been doing all these great things, kind of like you're saying, like Paul's writing Philemon, telling him, like, you know, y'all got the church going on in your house over there, and, you know, you're doing all these great, you know, good things, but man, now I'm gonna send back Onesimus, and I need you to forgive. You need to forgive him, you know. And not only I'm not just sending back your former slave. Now I'm sending you back. He's a brother in Christ. He's part of the family. He's in the body of Christ now, and we're not to have division in the body of Christ. So now I need you to, you know, like you said, Ignacio, he's sending him back, and it shows, you know, even to this, to Onesimus, I don't know what the conversation could have been, you know, when he's telling him you need to go ahead and go back. And he probably was, he might have been like, no, nah, I don't want to, I'm not trying to go back because I stole. And it's like you said, Ignacio, the reconciliation part of it. So it's the forgiveness, but being able to reconcile what happened, the situation that happened, to reconcile that and to forgive each other and then be able to move past it into, I guess, like the topic saying, not just to forgive, but to embrace that forgiveness, is to being able to go further than just forgiving somebody. To embrace it is to, I feel like that's to actively, you know, forget, like, not only, yeah, they could have forgave each other, you know, maybe shook hands and now we forgive each other, but no, now I need you to embrace that forgiveness. I need you to accept them back into your house and not just bring them back as your slave, but to treat them as a brother. Because even as a slave, like Paul says in, I think it's what, Ephesians or Galatians, that, you know, once you're in the body of Christ, there is no slave, there is no free, there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there's no Gentile. We're all just one in the body of Christ. So now that's the kind of message he's trying to tell them. The same way he said, there's no slave nor free, nor Jew nor Gentile. Like, he's your brother now. He's not a slave. He's not to be looked at as a slave. So accept him back, and y'all need to reconcile and work on that forgiveness, because that's what Jesus calls us to do, is to forgive others just like he forgave us. So you gotta be a demonstration, an example of that forgiveness. And this is, you know, God puts us through some tests sometimes to see if we'll really do these things. And I think this is definitely something that was, for Philemon, was a test, you know, that if he's really embracing what God's, with the teachings of Jesus, of forgiving others. And so now he's got to forgive.
Yeah. You know, I see something very important in this letter, that is a combination, grace and peace. You cannot have peace if you first don't have grace, because it's just like a grace and truth. You cannot just start preaching the truth. If you don't repent, you're going to hell without having that grace, because we first received the mercy from the Lord, right?
Yeah.
We were forgiven. Remember, the just of the Lord is the you know, the punishment that I deserve. But the grace of the Lord, or the mercies of the Lord, is the punishment that I don't receive, but I deserve.
Yeah.
Look the difference. Just the justice of the Lord, I deserve it, because
the judgment.
Yeah, the judgment. I deserve the punishment because I did it. I'm guilty. So the punishment have to arrive. However, with the grace and the mercy of the Lord, the punishment that I deserve, I don't receive. You see the difference?
Yeah.
And over here, Philemon need to have the grace for his servant. Why? Because remember, he did something. This person did something very bad to him. And of course, he wanna, you know, like Paul definitely want them to reconcile in order for that love, that grace, continual mercy. Because if you are a Christian, right? If you have the title as a Christian, you are called to be merciful, to be grateful to anybody, including those who did something against you, that sin against you. Because it's easy for me to have grace to people that I don't know. But how difficult, and this is what the Lord Jesus is really encouraged us to practice, you know, to practice the grace of forgiveness, the amazing process of forgiveness to those who did something against us. Because, Arnie, if you treat me well and I treat you well, that's it.
Yeah.
There is no recompense. But if you did something against me and I forgive you, that's what I representing Jesus inside of me. That's when I say I have Jesus inside of me, because we all are guilty.
Absolutely.
We all sin against God. But because his love was so amazing that he didn't even stimulate how bad we were. He just forgave us. He just gave you the option to go back to his arms, you know. So this letter really is an amazing letter, because he probably sent that letter as a personal letter. But God was so inspiring that letter that he preserved it as our foundation for Christianity, you know, because I'm going to tell you, there is no other institution in this world that has been so straight with the slavery than Christianity. If you can look at the history, for instance, in England, you remember Amazing Grace, the guy who composed the Amazing Grace? Mm-hmm. He was in the business of slavery. And that, when he was saved, he wrote this song. And you know what? He had to stop in that business, because he said, as a Christian, I cannot do it. And also in England, do you remember Williams, that they made a movie, the one that used to be, and that you see the guy that I think Mel Gibson may represent that movie, like in the England times of freedoms, that he said freedom when he being killed. I don't know if you remember that movie. The Hearts, I think.
Braveheart.
Yeah. That was a real person, really, in England, that he, because he was Christian, he was fighting against slavery. And here in America, Abraham Lincoln. Do you know that Abraham Lincoln was Christian too?
Yeah.
Fighting for slavery. I mean, all type of slavery is bad, especially because we all are equal in front of God.
Yeah.
There is, you know, the Bible says there is no slave or free. There is no Greek or Jew or Gentile. Now we are all one body in Christ.
Yeah.
Wow. How amazing is that? What do you guys think?
Yeah, definitely. That's the, you know, the thing that I think Paul's definitely trying to get him to realize is, you know, we're all one. We're not above one another. And like you said, you know, going back to what we said earlier, like him not writing, starting this letter like he normally does, saying he's an apostle, and even how he's telling him, like, I could be bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, but for love's sake, I'd rather appeal to you as just Paul. Like, I'm just appealing to you as your brother. Like, I'm not using my apostolic authority to try to put something over. You know, I'm letting you know that, yeah, he is obviously an apostle of Jesus Christ, but, you know, he's not letting that be a title to where he's holding that as like a status above him. No, he's, like I said, like you said, Paul himself says it, we're never slave nor free, Jew or Gentile, you know, we're all the same in the body of Christ. Yeah. And so he's not exercising that authority over him. He's coming to him as a brother, let him know this is like brother to brother, and not only brother to brother, brother to brother to brother, because now this is your brother in Christ as well. And, you know, you got to embrace that forgiveness. Like he's saying, brother, I need you to embrace this forgiveness. I need you to forgive, you know, him just as Christ forgave all of us. Because Paul is one, you know, who definitely did a lot of people wrong before he got saved. So he's appealing to him as a brother, like he's done so much to Christians before he, you know, had that encounter with Jesus, that, you know, basically that he's saying, like the part where he's saying, like, if he stole something, I'll pay it. Like, if the money is that serious, if it's that bad, look, it's put it under my account. I'll pay the debt. Like, if that's what this is over, if this is just over just money, which is like today, there's so many people that fall out over money to this day now. And it's like, it's money. God tells us, I mean, can't lay up our treasures here. We got to lay them up in heaven. So if we're over here having a disagreement over money, to where someone's, obviously he ran away, maybe, who knows, he was maybe scared for his life, especially being his slave. You know, this was definitely a different time. So it's like, if it's money that you're concerned about, I'll pay the money. Y'all need to reconcile this problem, and you need to forgive him and you know, accept him back, because now he's part of the family. He's part of the body of Christ.
Wow, that's good. what do you have any comment to say, Brother Joshua?
He talks about, so if you go down to verse 7, he says, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." Mm. Verse 7, it just I like verse 7 where it talks about, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because he's been refreshed." Basically, he was lost. He was useless. Then he became a Christian and became useful. He became refreshed. He became renewed. And it talks about when the Bible talks about when you're renewed, it's one body, one mind, you know? So not only is it one body, one mind, but you become one with Christ Jesus. But in order to become that one with Christ Jesus, before the renewness and the freshness, there's forgiveness. So again, like I said earlier, forgiveness is one of the biggest things we ever have to do in our Christian walk, because without forgiveness, we don't have joy. We don't have that encouragement for ourselves, let alone our brother. We can't encourage our brother if we can't encourage ourselves. We can't pray and ask for joy and peace for our brother if we're not asking for joy and peace for ourselves. If we don't forgive ourselves, we can't forgive our brother. Thus we are useless to our brother. Yeah. We as Christians, we can, let's go back to that slave word. As Christians, we can enslave ourselves in our mind.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
just our physical body, in our spiritual body, but in our mental, we can enslave ourselves. So the only way to unslave and get rid of that, "I'm a slave to the world" or "I'm a slave to my sins" mentality, is to first forgive ourselves.
Yeah.
So that thus the Lord can forgive us. Once we forgive ourselves and the Lord forgives us, forgiveness, it becomes easier. And it gets easier and it gets easier and it gets easier to where it's just, you're smiling, man. What are you so happy about, man? I've been forgiven.
Amen.
So because I've been forgiven and it comes like clockwork, you have joy, you have peace, you have that encouragement.
That is true.
We can be slaves and stay slaves, or we can be runaway slaves and become Christians.
Yeah.
It was all up to Paul. Paul spent most of his life in prison for preaching the gospel. It's something he chose to do. He went from killing Christians and enslaving them to becoming imprisoned himself for preaching the same thing that he was against. Yeah. So again, we can stay slaves in our mind, or we can become Christians and encourage our brother. As our brother encourages us, we can lift our brothers up. As our brother lifts us up, we can become one body and one mind and do what we have to do wholeheartedly to become Christ-like on a daily basis. No, it ain't easy, but that's the whole point of that grace. That's the whole point of his mercy.
That is true.
That's my take on it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I love this, man. This is what I do. I love this.
That's good, brother. That's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing that I really think this is beautiful is that we definitely learned a lot, because slavery is not just something on the flesh. You know, you can be, like you were saying, slave right here. And if you don't have Jesus and God, I would say that you're never going to be free completely. Because look how the entire world, today, a lot of people, they think they are free by living in the country that perhaps it doesn't have any conflicts right now with another country or doesn't own it, or another country doesn't own it, but on your heart, on your mind, how free really you are? Because the only way to freedom is through Jesus.
Yeah.
And you might say, yes, I can be free. Yes, I can overcome whatever situation because I have my hands, or I have perhaps here in Texas my guns, you know. But let me tell you, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you definitely are a slave from the enemy. Yeah. Because the only way you can freedom yourself from the eternity separation of the Lord is through Jesus. Yeah. And you cannot overcome that path without the Holy Spirit. And yeah, for you to have the Holy Spirit, you need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. It's amazing how God, and you know, I was reading one area here that caught my attention that said, you know what? Within the application, you can now reveal or have faith to others without showing grace to your friends or your brothers. If you don't show as a Christ or servant grace to others, then that's when your faith might be very, very difficult, you know, because I know it's in a different application that James brought, show me your faith and I will show you my action. But we can't even connect it right there, because your faith always have to be linked to that grace of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I cannot have that amazing faith if I don't have a grace, if I don't have love for my brother. In fact, out of the three comparison that God through Paul in First Corinthians 13 that talk about the greater of all of this is love. It's not just faith. Yeah. It's love. And if I don't overshow my love unconditionally to my friend, to my brother, that are not connecting with me, because it is so easy, Brother Joshua and Ernie, that I show love to you, that I know you. But what about the homeless, the person that I don't know, the person that I think is very low in my level? You know, just by thinking it like that, I already been kind of pretending that I'm above somebody else, when in reality, Christ, man, the most beautiful and powerful example is Christ, King of Kings. The King of Kings, he came, he said, if I am the Lord, and I am, I wash your feet. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was a great example. When he told Paul, you know what, I'm going to wash your feet now. And he said, no, Lord, you cannot do that to me. I would say that Paul might be thinking in a way like, oh, you're so great to me for me to allow you to do this. But the Lord said, if you don't allow me to do this, guess what? You won't have any part of my kingdom. He said, then, Lord, not only my feet, my entire body.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to be part of God's kingdom. And guess what? The Lord told them a powerful teaching for you and for myself, that if he is being the Lord, being so powerful, so amazing, he's humbled himself to the point that he's washing their feet. Guess what? I have to do it. If my Lord humbled himself so to the knee that I can be an example, I have to do it. You have to do it, brother, sister that are watching this podcast. It is important that we show grace through love on Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen. And then, I mean, like you're saying, like, if Jesus can forgive us, like we've been saying, you know, since the beginning of this episode, if Jesus can forgive us, then him being the example, then we're to be able to forgive others, because, He forgave everyone, and that includes even the people that don't believe. That includes, you know, everybody from the worst of the worst to whatever. He forgave everybody. So if he's the example of what forgiveness looks like, because what the Bible says, that there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for someone. And so he did that for us. And so we're to forgive. We're to show, you know, we're saying that grace and that forgiveness. And like you said, it's grace. And like James says, you know, faith without, you know, works, I'll show you my faith. Well, if you believe in Christ and you have faith in him and you believe his teachings and he's asking you to forgive, then you have to believe that when he says to forgive, that applies to us to forgive others. So we have to embrace that, what he's saying. We have to walk out what he's saying. We can't just be a hearer of the word. We got to be a doer of the word. So if Jesus is asking us to forgive, then we can't just hear that. No, we have to fully actually demonstrate that and put that into action, actually forgive others, as just like he asked us to do.
Wow, that's good. That's good. So before we finish, I have a question that I want to share. And I'm going to start with Joshua. And it said, regarding this forgiveness and reconciliation, are there people you need to forgive or seek forgiveness from? Are there people you need to forgive or seek forgiveness from? And this is also a question for everybody. You know, we all may ask this, but regarding forgiveness and reconciliation, you know, how do you really, really think that we are struggling on this situation by forgiving those people or seeking the forgiveness? Because sometimes it's difficult to ask for forgiveness, right? And to forgive, you know, like, hey, Ernie, you know what? I know you did something against me, but I'm not going to ask you to forgive me. My pride doesn't allow me to.
Yeah.
And what do you think, Brother Joshua?
So you said forgiveness and reconciliation.
Yeah.
And then your question is, are there people you need to forgive or seek forgiveness from, right?
Yes.
So when I'm not working full time on the side, I cut grass. And I was doing a yard. I don't know exactly when, what day it was, but I was cutting a yard. And while I was cutting the yard,
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
When I'm not working full time, I cut yards.
Yeah.
So I was cutting a yard the other day. And while cutting the yard, God was revealing to me that there was some forgiveness that I needed to seek, to like, there was some people in my life to forgive. And I basically, it was like, God, I thought I forgave these people. And he was like, no. So to answer your question, yes, there's people that I do need to seek forgiveness from, and that I need to ask for forgiveness, because even though I thought I had done that the other day, God had revealed to me that what I thought I did, I really didn't do. Because when you truly forgive someone, you don't just brush them people off. You don't just ignore them. You don't just talk to them, not talk to them all the way around. And God was showing me that even though I had forgive this person, that I truly didn't forgive them, because I don't reach out often, and that I probably should reach out more often. So when you think you forgave somebody, God ultimately, if you haven't forgave them the way God intended you to or wants you to, ultimately God's going to reveal that to you. So the answer to your question, yes, sir, there is.
Wow. Yeah. What about you, Ernie?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, there definitely is some people I probably need to forgive, and there's probably some people that I need to ask, you know, the same way, both ways, definitely. I don't got details, you know, I'll say that for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely.
It is true, because in many ways, we might offend. For instance, I would say the people that is really close to me, very close to me, you know, which is my wife or my daughter, in any way we might offend them, you know. So I think it is important, yes, that we definitely get seek for forgiveness and forgive, you know, because sometimes we do things that, yes, it look in a way different, you know, but it might offend somebody. It might cause somebody pain, you know, and hurt somebody, you know. Just like I would say, it is so easy for us to say something with our mouth and cause pain to somebody.
Yeah.
Because we are fast to answer, you know. You might say something that I don't like, that I'm not in agreement with, and I can take it personal immediately, you know, and pretend that, you know what, I don't like Brother Ernie for telling me that. I don't appreciate it. And then from that, if I don't seek that forgiveness, that negative seeds will plant in my heart. And that will be a plant that will release some negative fruits.
Yeah.
And now, if I met a new person, the first things that I'm going to say is, don't mess with Ernie. Ernie is a bad person, you know, just because I have that negativity plant in my heart. So we definitely have to seek for forgiveness and forgive, you know. Whether the person didn't respond to the forgiveness, that's up to that person. But at least you did what the Lord say.
Yeah.
Before you come to me and bring you offering to me, guess what? Reconcile. Seek, forgive that person that did something against you. And the Lord's going even beyond. Forgive the person that messed up with you, that did the mistake, the behavior against you. Wow. Yeah. Because if you and I compare to Jesus, we will know that we are very, very low. If you start comparing with your brother, with your sister, you will pretend that you are better than them. But if you start comparing yourself or looking yourself to the measurement of Christ, you will see that you're so low to that level that you have to seek for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
God is good, brother. God is good. Brother Joshua, thank you for being today with us, man. We appreciate it. We appreciate it. So good, you know. Hopefully in a different opportunity we might have you.
Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate it. What do you think?
Yeah, I appreciate you coming through, Josh. Nice meeting you. Hopefully get to meet you in person sometime, and you know, maybe even have you over here do it live in person one day.
Yeah.
I don't mind doing it live, brother. I don't mind.
So just for everybody, Ernie, to share this link.
You know, everybody is watching. If you're watching, you know, share this. I'm sure there's somebody out there. Maybe, you know, share to someone as we ask. Maybe there's somebody you need to forgive or ask for forgiveness. Maybe this can be a doorway to that conversation, or just share this message. It's definitely something we want to share. We want to definitely embrace that forgiveness that Jesus tells us to do. And it may not be easy, but yes, you know, so share this, like this, share this, you know, wherever you're watching it at or listening to, and get, you know, share it, follow us.
Yeah, the amazing part of this letter is that at the end, both of these men reconcile, and not only him, because the Bible mentions all the names, it assumes that it might be Onesimus' wife and son, you know, The Bible doesn't clearly say, but the scholar, the Bible scholar say that it might be his family, you know. And man, this is beautiful. And you know, another point that I noticed from this letter is that they used to do some type of services at home, you know.
Yeah.
However, that's not kind of like the setup, because by that time they didn't have church, and the church that used to be was more from the Israel side, you know, not Gentile. And you know, that time it was more difficult. Like, but after, I would say, the century, the second or third century, they start building churches.
Yeah.
And today we have a beautiful church that we definitely don't mind to invite anybody that want to join.
Oh yeah, of course. We want to always invite people to come out to our church. It's the Fellowship Tech City, and the address is 2222 North Highway 146 in Tech City, Texas. So come on out. We got 3 services. We got 8:15, 10:00, 11:45. So come on out. You know, like Ignacio said, you know, we have church, you know, actual churches. We can come and fellowship and meet our brothers and sisters in Christ, and you know, come together in a large we can come together in a congregation and, you know, corporate worship together and learn more about our Lord and Savior.
So we are definitely arriving to the last episode.
The end of this episode.
Somebody's paying attention, right?
Yes. I was like, the last. Hold on, Ignacio. Man, they're trying to cancel us. They can't cancel us.
That's true. So we are blessed for everybody. You know, share this, and also Joshua, share this link with your friends, with people, you know, that they can definitely connect with Profound Truth, YouTube, Facebook, and I would say all the platforms.
Yeah,
we send it to. So,
yeah. So
thank you.
Yes,
and see you.
Is that
next.
Profound Truth?
Yes, you can YouTube Profound Truth or Batista Ministry in all the different platforms. Batista Ministries.
But yeah.
All right.
Appreciate everybody watching, listening.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you, Brother Joshua.
Yes, thank you, Josh, for coming through.
Hey, thank y'all. Thank y'all for having me. Yeah, that's the first day my wife asked. I need a link so I can watch this. Like I said, she's out of town right now, so she wants to watch it.
Yeah, I will send you the link. Don't worry. All right. Bye-bye.
All right, brother. God bless.
Bye-bye, y'all. God bless y'all.